down with OTV? Who's down with OTV? Who's down with OTV?
Podcast One presents Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. Caitlin is creating a space where girls and gents can feel empowered to be themselves. Get ready for lots of laughs,
taboo topics,
unfiltered advice, and wine.
Lots of wine.
Get ready to shake things up. Here's Caitlin.
Welcome to Off the Vine. I'm your host, Caitlin Bristow, and in the studio, we have CEO and founder of Intern Queen and Career Queen, both great names, and author of Get It Together, Lauren Berger. Thank you for being here. I like your last name.
Thanks.
Berger. Do you have any relation
to... Just like hamburger.
Yeah, just like hamburger. Do you have any relation to Mitch Berger, the football player?
No.
Oh.
Nothing.
Wow. Womp womp. Okay, so explain to everybody your shtick. Like, who are you?
Yes.
Who are you?
So I started a website called Intern Queen.
Yes.
Which is a free internship platform almost 10 years ago now.
Oh, wow.
And started that site just as a free destination where young people could go and apply for internships and get advice. It was sort of the internship website that I always wanted and never had.
Cool.
And all of these people followed me kind of as I started that website, and then when they graduated school and went into their jobs, they came back to me and said, well, where's the job site? Now what? So we just launched Career Queen,
yeah,
which is sort of the big sister brand to Intern Queen.
Yeah.
I always say the Career Queen drinks wine and says bad words, whereas the Intern Queen would never do that.
Oh, because she's an intern. She has to be on her best behavior.
Yeah. And then this is actually my third book that just came out, Get It Together.
Yeah.
I have to read the subtitle. Ditch the chaos, do the work, design your success.
Yes.
And I wrote this.
Wait, say that again slowly. I like that. Ditch the chaos.
Ditch the chaos.
Yeah.
Do the work.
Yeah.
Design your success.
Okay. Well, let's dive into that.
Yeah. So I wrote this book because I was so sick of hearing how busy everybody was all the time.
Yes.
You know, I'm so busy I didn't eat. I'm so busy I didn't sleep.
And
I started feeling insecure when other people would tell me how busy they were.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, wait, are you more successful than I am
because you're busy.
You're talking about how busy you are and I'm driving home from work and you're still at the office.
Yeah.
And I really got frustrated with that. I kept experiencing it in my work life, in my personal life. I'm an entrepreneur, so there's a lot of pressure anyways to be
always on. And what were you doing for work then?
Intern Queen.
I've
been doing it for 10 years. So it was just really me living in LA, talking to my friends who all live in the industry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were all just so busy all the time. And I thought there has to be a better way.
Yeah.
Everybody was leaving the office feeling like they didn't get anything done.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, wait a second, we're literally sitting at the office for over 8 hours. How are we not getting anything done? Why are we
leaving? While being so busy.
Yeah. And why are we leaving feeling so unaccomplished? There must be a better way to sort of get out of our own way and cut through some of the BS and get some stuff done and feel better and maybe even disconnect every once in a while.
Yeah. Disconnect. That's
disconnection.
Disconnect. So when you say ditch the chaos, what chaos? Does that depend on the person?
I think it depends on the person. Maybe some things that you can relate to that I deal with all the time are sometimes I feel like I start my day and my day like has me on a leash and I'm just obeying the calendar. Like the day is leading and I'm just following.
Right.
I just don't feel like I'm in control of my time.
Yeah.
I also always feel like I have a to-do list and I have a calendar and they're completely different.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't make sense when you think about it. If you have a completely booked calendar and then a 100 things on your to-do list, how are you going to get any done? You know, you're not a magician. You can't be two places at once.
There's only a certain amount of time in the day.
Yeah. So I think that's a little bit of the chaos. And I think, you know, some of the chaos is being caught up in what everybody else is doing. Maybe having FOMO, Instagram FOMO,
caught up in what everybody else is doing.
Absolutely. I mean, we all tend to start our days on Instagram looking at other people's stuff, and we end our days on Instagram going through other people's stuff. So that kind of contributes to the chaos that I want to break through.
Yeah.
And look, the book isn't the instant solution, but I do think that I offer a lot of practical, actionable tips that people can do right away just to feel a little bit better.
That's so great.
Thanks.
I just feel like that's actually a really great point that we start our day and end our day with other people's lives. And that's really weird.
Right.
Like, I just feel like, and the same thing with like having a calendar and a to-do list and just not enough time. I feel like I always tell myself that life is an ongoing project. Like, you can't get everything done and you can't expect yourself to get everything done. It's just like when I started to design the house, I was like, oh my gosh, I just want it all done. And then my girlfriend was like, it's an ongoing project, because once you get something done, you're going to want to change something else, and you're going to want to start on the backyard, and then you're going to want to do this, and then you're going to want to change, and then you're going to want to move, and then you're going to do it all. She goes, right. It's just an ongoing project. And I was like, that's kind of life too. If you think about life as like an ongoing project and like take the pressure off yourself for getting everything done in this one day, and because you're always going to find something else to do, and like giving yourself a little bit of credit.
Yeah, and I think you have to celebrate the small wins. You know, I had a speaking engagement yesterday, and I showed up an hour and 15 minutes early. That never happened.
Oh, wow.
I mean, never. I had enough time to get lost. Yeah. I had enough time to go to Starbucks. Yeah. I mean, it was a small win, but yeah. I really made sure to take the time and kind of give myself credit for that, because I am always late. Yeah. I'm always lost on college campuses. That's the story of my life. But it was an example of a small win that really made me feel like I had it together.
Right. Of course.
And that's kind of the point, is, you know, finding these small things that we can celebrate
them.
And slowly getting it together.
And is that kind of what you're doing when you're speaking at these colleges? Like, because that's probably a part of success, and being successful is having that balance, or not being a ticking time bomb, because then you're not showing up for work either.
Absolutely. I mean, when I go speak at colleges, or, you know, in front of like young professional women or whoever the group is, I'm always kind of jumping up and down and telling them that anything is possible, because, you know, it really is. We all have the power to do whatever we want. I mean, I started a company called Intern Queen. What?
Yeah, which is so great, because when did you started that 10 years ago?
I started that 10 years ago. Yeah.
Which is funny, because Queen's such a thing now that you were like really ahead of your time back
That's
then, you
true.
Know, like you really. Yeah, it's a great name, actually. Yeah.
Thanks. So, yeah. And actually, yesterday was the first. I just got the book about a week ago.
Yeah.
And so it was the first time I was able to give out the book to all of these college students.
Oh,
and
awesome.
I actually, there's a lot of workbooky kind of stuff in the book, because I'm the kind of person that reads a book and I want to take out my highlighter and kind of go through it. And I want quick, actionable tips that I can activate right away. So in the book, there's a whole chapter on like dealing with failure and rejection. And it's my favorite chapter, because I was having a really bad day about a week and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And I was on the airplane and I read chapter 3 of my book, which is Coping with Failure.
Yeah.
And it worked. It made me feel better. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is magic. So when I spoke yesterday at the college, I had all of the students like open to that section. And I need to have all my friends do this too. And I had them write out, like, it was name one time when you dealt with failure or rejection in a really healthy, positive way. Because I think so much of the battle is just knowing what works for you and then remembering, you know, because a lot of times we get rejected or we feel icky and then we just forget what makes us feel better. So I think having it written down, hopefully in one place, will help. But anyways, you know, there's lots
That's
of stuff
cool.
like that in the book.
Everybody listening should do that.
Yeah.
A way that you dealt with failure in a healthy way, or rejection.
Yeah. And then the tricky part, I think, is the next time you get rejected, you have to remember and you sort of have to activate that solution.
Yeah. What is it for you? What's your example?
So it probably depends. If I'm at home, because this is a weird one, if I'm at home and I get a rejection email, or, you know, just something annoying happens in my personal life, in my work life, whatever it is, sometimes I just like to go shower it off. Like,
oh, yeah.
I literally just want to put myself in the shower and just like, ugh, you know, cleanse myself of it. And sometimes you can't shower, obviously, depending on where you are. But for me, sometimes my husband actually will be like, Lauren, go put yourself in the shower.
Really? Know? It's like your little timeout, like recharge the batteries in the shower.
Exactly. And it usually does. Like, I get out, I'm refreshed, and then I can, you know, get back into whatever I need
There's
to do.
There's something about being in water. I'm like, does it just like take you back to the womb or something? Like, where you're just so calm? Because there's something about water that's like, I do that too. If I'm like if I am having such a bad day, or if I'm like super upset about something or anxiety, I'm like, ooh, I just need to go. And I'll sit in the shower. I won't even stand and like shower. I'll sit and I'll just let the water like go over me, and I'll have like a good solid cry.
Yeah,
and
I love that.
I feel it's therapeutic. I come out of the shower exactly cleansed physically and mentally.
Right. And then you're ready.
And then you're ready.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's one of the things that I talk about. There's also like a whole section about kind of redefining your morning routine, mm-hmm. where I encourage readers to like write out their ideal schedule,
yeah.
and then kind of look at, okay, what's different between my day to day now versus what I want it to be. And everybody, whenever I talk to people about their schedule, everyone always says, well, my schedule is different because, mm-hmm. even college students, mm-hmm. you know, my schedule is different because of this, or my friends in the entertainment business, my schedule is different because of this. Like, get over it. It's not that special. We all can figure it out.
Right.
write down your routine.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. So guys, now that we're in the middle of the holidays, I can't stop thinking about getting away and treating myself to a good time. The one place that keeps popping up the most, Walt Disney World, duh. It's no surprise, though. I mean, do you remember the joy and spirit of Peter Pan? You don't ever have to grow up, even though the world tells you to. Nope, not when you're at Disney World. We all know it's tough being an adult, but at Walt Disney World, you can put the adulting on pause and let the everyday stresses of life disappear. There's so much cool stuff you can do at Walt Disney World after hours, including a crawl of some of the best in-park drinking options. And if the world tells you to grow up at Disney World, you don't have to. Walt Disney World is the perfect escape for millennials. There is an entirely new way to experience it as an adult without the kiddos. From cool drinking options to the excitement of after-hour events, find your happy place here. Why not check out Raglan Road Irish Pub and Restaurant? You can frolic inside this authentic pub for a truly memorable Irish experience featuring silky pants, modern cuisine, and live music and dance. Seriously, there are so many cool attractions and characters that bring your childhood to life, new experiences that you can appreciate as an adult. So relive the nostalgia of Disney or create some new memories.
Okay, what else? I'm like, dude, you got more tips for me? Yeah, let's see. So I talk a lot about goal setting.
Yes.
I had this random experience where I think it was back in January.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of the year, I was sitting with my book agent talking about the book,
yeah.
Get It Together. And she said to me, just in conversation, Lauren, what are your New Year's resolutions? And I froze. I didn't have anything to say. And
yeah.
I remember being so frustrated with myself. Here I am writing a book about goal setting and
right.
getting it together. And I can't even say three goals to this
right.
woman. So I said, you know, this can be no more. We all have to know our goals. If you don't know your goals, who else does?
Yeah.
It's not like someone else behind you is going to remember your goals. You know, if we're going to take our, I think part of it is taking yourself seriously,
mm-hmm.
and you have to know your own goals. So this year, I'm like, 2019's coming up. I'm going to know at least three goals. I'm going to be able to spit them out, shout them from the rooftops.
Go. What are your three goals?
Well, I want to. Oh, God, no, I'm under pressure. Okay. I'm going to double the revenue for Intern Queen.
Amazing.
I'm going to, I don't know that I'm going to drop any weight, but I'm going to like stay healthy. Oh, you'll
stay
like
healthy.
This. I started doing these hip hop dance classes in LA.
Get it, girl.
You would love it. You would love it.
Yes.
So I'm going to like keep up the working out consistently.
Yeah.
And then what else am I going to do? And then I'm going to try to write either a third book or I'm going to try to make it into a TV show. We'll see.
That would be cool.
And those will be my three goals.
Well, because
first, we just came up with them.
That's good, though, because I think we're in such a time where, you know, people like to feel motivated by entrepreneurial women. And like, if you're writing books and you're actually like going and speaking about this and even just what you've said so far, I'm like, I believe you. Like, I feel like it's inspiring, and I'm like, ooh, I'm like excited to like know these tips and like tricks and read your book. And I just think it's like such an exciting time to be like a businesswoman.
Yeah. What about you? Three goals.
I knew you were going to say that. I was like, I honestly was like trying to get through that sentence, just being like, she's going to ask me. And I'm like, my three goals for 2019, will be to deal with rejection and failure in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
To continue to renovate my home and make it more of my dream home. That's like my 2019 goal, is that I finish the house. And that I'm not afraid to fall back in love.
I love it.
'Cause I'm so scared.
I love it. And it's, you know, I think anybody listening can relate. Like, there's this myth that when you're quote unquote successful, and I think a lot of people obviously look at you and say you're very successful, right? But,
thank you.
But there's this myth that once you're successful, you don't deal with rejection anymore. And
oh,
I think,
right.
you know, there's not enough successful people out there, yeah, you know, talking about rejection. Yeah. And I think the reality is sometimes once you're successful, you're putting yourself out there more and more. You're rejected even more than you used to be. So we all have to deal with that in our own way. Maybe it's your first job. Maybe it's your 10th job. Or maybe it's,
in fact, you know, the more rejection, the better. Wouldn't you say?
I always say embrace rejection, marry rejection. I mean, I wouldn't have accomplished anything in my career without getting rejected from every single thing I tried to do first. And I still get rejected all the time. I mean, and some of them are easy. You're like, I didn't really care about that. And then some of them,
it hurts.
Yeah, they really sting. So
hits you right in the feels.
Yeah, it really does.
What do you think people overlook when they're starting out?
In terms of their job?
Like, say somebody was starting their own company and starting from scratch with a brand or something like that.
Yeah.
What do you think people overlook?
Yeah. So I think we could take this in a couple different ways, but I'm going to say that I think people overlook the need to disconnect and relax. I just wrote an article about this. I took my work email off of my phone. And everyone is like, oh, my gosh, you're the CEO of a business. How are you going to run the business if you're not always connected? And there's a lot of guilt that kind of goes with that.
You're like, how did people do it before?
Right. And I think that disconnecting has actually made me better at my job because when I sit down to do emails, I can actually do the emails. Now I'm not like on the treadmill trying to respond to something or seeing something as I'm getting on an airplane and forgetting to respond to it later. So I think it actually makes me better at my job. And I think people overlook the power of disconnection and making time for yourself and relaxing. People think that in order to be successful or good at what they do or the best at their job or in their field, they have to work all the time,
answering to everybody all the time.
It's that myth of the busier the better. And it's not about the quantity of what you do, it's about the quality of what you do.
That's so true. I don't have my emails come through my phone.
Really? I think that's really good.
Yeah. Because I actually love it. And when I'm ready to open my emails and do it, I'm like,
sit down.
And I make sure I'm not like, I mean, I try to make sure I'm not making people wait on me if I'm like, you know, have to show up that day or something or show up on emails. But I will make sure that I wake up in the morning. I don't want to see all the emails coming through. I want to wake up. I want to like cuddle my dog. I want to like enjoy my coffee, make breakfast, and then sit down and be in the zone.
Right. And I love that you said that because I talk about that in the book, just doing what works for you and you controlling your day and not your emails controlling your day or your phone or your calendar or whatever that is.
It just starts the day off wrong. Like, I just feel like you don't want to start with stress or you're setting the tone for your day. I've never been like some people, that's their habit. And they're like, sorry, that's just how I function. For me, I'm like, I can't function unless I like really like take my time in the morning. Like, I'm not a morning person. I need to wake up and really like try and wake up. Coffee, always a big help. But just like start off my day and then go into the work and then shut it down.
Right. And that's important too, knowing when to have that boundary.
And you don't want people, that's setting boundaries exactly, because now people know like if it's this time a day, like the work day's over and they can't get a hold of you. And that's setting boundaries.
Absolutely. And I think in addition to that, you have to set personal boundaries. I tell a story in my book about how, so I live in Los Angeles. My brother and his wife live in New York, and we're all very close. We talk all the time. So whenever it's like 8 o'clock my time, I give them a little phone call to talk about nothing and just be on the phone, right? Yeah. And he said to me recently, he was like, hey, you think you could not call after 11? We're trying to go to bed here, like wind down first calling. And I was like, first I was like offended and then it was funny. I think this happened while I was writing the book. I was like, oh, you're trying to set a healthy boundary.
Look at you go.
But you know, it was, and he had a point, right? Like they're trying to go to bed, they're trying to wind down, they don't want the phone ringing, they don't care who it is,
right?
But it was a good example of also setting a healthy boundary in your personal life.
Yeah, absolutely, that's true. Like business and personal, you should always set boundaries to make yourself like everybody. I mean, being selfish is not a terrible thing. You just have to do it the right way. And if you're doing it to be a better person, then I think that it'd be selfish.
Absolutely.
You know, as long as you're doing it to be a better person.
Right. And something I wanted to ask you about too is that, no, I'm like asking you questions. Sorry.
No, I love when people flip it on me, unless it's like New Year's resolution.
So you said you like to kind of get in the zone when you start your day. In the book, I talk a lot about the importance of finding your focus zone. Mm-hmm. When I wrote this book, it was so hard. I have two other books, but I wrote them years ago. And in 2018, doing anything is hard because Instagram and everything. Yeah. And it's just life is full of distractions. Right. So for you, when you go into like the work mode, how do you find your focus zone?
I listen to classical music.
Ooh,
yeah. I you can tell like in this room, I'm all about like a certain lighting,
mm-hmm.
candles.
Yeah. People can't see, but the mood is
real
nice
in here. Yeah. I'm all about candles. And then I love putting on focus music with like classical music, mm-hmm. and picking one task to do and be really focused on that. So not like, okay, oh, in the middle of this email, then go check Instagram or like look at my phone. Like I always talk about that's why I love podcasting. I feel like I'm very in the zone, mm-hmm. and like focused in on this conversation. So yeah, I feel like I set the mood. Like I just get in this focus zone of like, okay, the music is helping me concentrate. I'm smelling delightful smells from the candles and the lighting's right. Is that weird?
It's funny. I'll put on headphones when I go to work, but I'm the opposite. I will blast like crazy rap music.
Really?
And then I'll be like, yeah, I can send my pitch emails out now. Here I go.
Oh, see, that's so fun. I do that on my like way to boxing class. But when I do my emails, I'm like, I just like to be relaxed. I think I get very overwhelmed because I come from a world where I wasn't doing this stuff before. You know, this is still all very new to me to answer emails and be like so busy,
right? Because you were so creative and dancing, and
I worked at a restaurant. Like I was helping train servers, I was serving, I was doing spin classes. Like I was doing things that I was just I'm sure at the beginning I was like, oh, how do I navigate this? But then I got used to it because I did it for so long. So now going into this world that I'm in, I'm not used to it. And I get very overwhelmed by emails because I don't know if I'm like sounding professional on my emails back, or like I just don't understand the world of negotiating and all these kinds of things that are happening that are all very new to me, which I love because I'm learning. But it's like, so I think I get a little bit of anxiety almost when I sit down to do work because
you're hesitant about the responses and things.
Yeah, and how to balance it all. So I find the classical music helps
it
calm me down.
It sets the mood. I like that. You know your needs.
Yeah.
That's what I talk about in the book a lot. I like that.
I'm really excited to read your book, actually.
Thanks.
So Blink is an ultra-affordable 100% wire-free home security camera that runs on only two AA batteries for up to 2 years. Blink cameras don't have any wires. They can be placed virtually anywhere around your home, inside or out. I like to use it because I get a lot of packages delivered, so it helps prevent package theft and ensuring proper package delivery. And with Blink, you can make a one-time purchase and have access to a plethora of features, and there are no subscriptions or fees to choose from, and Blink cameras start at only $99. Blink utilizes a free Android, Apple, and Amazon Fire tablet app that allows customers to view video from their cameras from anywhere in the world. Whether you're traveling out of the country or you want to check in on your home while you're at work, Blink grants you a peace of mind no matter where you are. I'm going to do it while I'm in Iceland. With instant motion alerts to your smartphone when activity is captured on your camera, you will know what's going on in your home right as it happens. If you just want to make sure your kids made it home safe from school, or you want to keep an eye on your pets, Blink does it all. Plus, the setup is so simple, did it all myself. From downloading the app to onboarding the sync module and adding your cameras, this entire process should only take 5 minutes or less. So to get yours, go to blinkforhome.com/offthevine now. One more time, that's blinkforhome.com/offthevine. And what do you think about everybody putting all their eggs in one basket, like what we call Instagram? Like, what do you think about people doing that? Because I feel like everybody, it's the time we live in, is
Instagram.
You mean
people having a job on, like their job is,
yes, and putting
Instagram.
All of their eggs in one basket with Instagram.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I was just with a bunch of college girls, and I work with a lot of college men and women who have big followings online. And these college students, they get so much engagement because, you know, they have Instagram in college. So all of their stuff, not only do they have a big following, but their engagement rate is huge. And I kind of see them at that point where they're thinking, should I just be a YouTuber or an Instagrammer with my career, or should I go to another job? And as a career coach, it's it is kind of interesting to answer that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say that, you know, if you're starting out young, I would say do as much on the side while having some sort of backup plan as mm-hmm. possible. Like mm-hmm. even these students that are getting brand deals while they're in school. Great. See what that's like. See yeah. if you like kind of communicating in this way. And then I think we all have to be aware of what's next. Mm-hmm. You know, I through Intern Queen, I run a campus marketing agency. So how we make a lot of our money is brands hire us to put together these college brand ambassador programs for them. And a couple years ago, Instagram wasn't even a thing. And now we sell Instagram campaigns just like a lot of other agencies. Yeah. You know, people want college students or whoever posting on Instagram. That's what they pay for.
Right.
But I think it's up to me and it's up to everybody who has a career related to Instagram to have our eyes on whatever's next, whether mm-hmm. it's just IGTV or LinkedIn video mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever that new thing is going to be. So
do you think Instagram's going anywhere?
I mean, it's going to have to go somewhere at some point, right? Just like, I mean, I never would have thought that Facebook was going anywhere. And there's definitely a change in yeah. the amount of people that use it. I mean, I speak to young people and they don't use it at all.
Really?
So yeah, the college students hardly use it at all. Some of them don't even have profiles. So, and I, you know, a couple years ago, I would have thought Facebook was going to be king forever.
Yeah. I'm still hoping so because girls got to eat.
You know what everyone's using, and I shouldn't even say
what?
It because I feel like I can't pronounce it right.
What is it?
It's that VSCO thing.
What's like, that?
It's the photo editing app. It's VSCO. But I am seeing that all of the college students have VSCO profiles. So I'm like, huh, does the intern queen and the career queen need to live on that? And then you're like, oh, another platform. More content. Oy, what is next?
Well, one of my other questions was, do you ever fear in the digital space that everything you've created can be lost so quickly?
Yes, I think it's a little bit of both. It's like everything can be lost so quickly, but then everything stays for so long.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, people will sometimes come up to me with articles from 2009 they're like, oh, you said this at this point about this.
I don't even want to know what my stuff says. I don't even want to know what you like get when you Google my name. Yeah. And what about for somebody that's less confident in networking and socializing and really putting themselves out there? Like, what do you suggest to take a first step for somebody?
Yeah, I think it's all about setting small goals for yourself. So if I go to a networking event and one of my friends who's probably going to listen to this, she's going to say, I hate when you say the word networking. You know, she thinks it's just a icky word, but whatever you want to call it, right?
What else would you call it?
Schmetworking.
Schmetworking.
Schmetworking. Talking, engaging, having real conversation, yeah. whatever we want to call it.
Yeah.
Let's say you're going to an after work event and the goal is to meet new people. I think give yourself a small goal. You know, you are not allowed to go home and watch Netflix until you introduce yourself to 5 people. Like, we all want to go home, right?
Yeah.
I'm super ambitious. I want to go home too.
Yeah.
When I'm at those places. So give yourself a small goal. I'm not going to let myself leave until I meet 5 people here. I also encourage, I meet a lot of people who are just really shy in general, and I encourage them to just increase the interactions they have with people that they meet at the grocery store or at Subway.
You never know who you're going to meet.
Yeah, well, and it's just good to get used to having small talk. It's good to get used to talking to strangers.
No, to just small talk in general. Like, I mean, I'm not all for small talk, but I just feel like people are forgetting how to have conversation in their general lives.
Right. We're all so busy on our phone, like,
yes,
down, right.
Like, what are kids going to be like in the future with conversation?
Right. Right. So, yeah, I was talking about this the other day. Next time you're at the grocery store, just say to the woman who's bagging your groceries, you know, how's your day? Is it a busy day today? Or ask your sandwich artist something. Just
right.
really push yourself to go out of the box, because when you do have to sit down at that job interview with someone you've never met before, it is going to be scary.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think increasing interactions is helpful. And then preparation, I think, equals confidence.
Yeah.
And the more prepared you are for every situation, so doing your homework before that big job interview, that preparation is going to help you.
Well, even when I podcast, I like to think I'm like a big like wing it kind of guy, and I'm not like the most professional, which I think some people like about me. But if I'm not prepared even a little bit for a podcast, like, it could go extremely well, but I don't have the confidence going into it. And I love that you say small goals, because I find that with fitness or eating properly or just like anything you want to do in your day, I think setting just a few small goals and just being able to say, okay, I did those, and then making new ones, like even if it's weekly, I think that's so important to do that, to do the small goals.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all about at the beginning of the year or whenever putting together like 3 big goals and then breaking them down. In the book, I have this whole thing about, I call it Know Your YQMB, which is your yearly goal, your quarter, and then you break it down into your quarterly goal, your monthly goal. And then I do biweekly goals because I feel like in a week, things change.
Yeah.
A week is a hard time to really accomplish something on an ongoing basis. So I usually do, again, biweekly, monthly, quarterly, yearly.
Yeah.
But it's all about just breaking it down into small, attainable steps.
My goal this month is just to survive. Just survive, Caitlin.
Yeah, you got this every day. Every day.
I feel like internships are usually unpaid, which a lot of people may not see the value, as in like girls gotta eat. But like, like what makes them so valuable?
Yeah, I think it's just putting yourself smack dab in the middle of an industry that you might want to work at one day and watching how people interact with each other and what the day to day is like and what that company actually does.
Yeah.
I mean, so many people start their jobs and they hate them because they never interned and they never like tested out the industry. It's kind of like taking a car for a test drive, right?
Right.
So you have this opportunity to intern while you're in college. You know, you may as well take advantage of it. And so many of the internships that used to be unpaid are now paid. I think almost every intern, I did 15 internships in college. That's where 15? I got my intern queen title.
Okay, that makes sense. You are the intern queen.
Yeah, and so many of them were unpaid, and most of those companies, if not all of them, are now paying their interns. So, you know, you still have a couple fields where it's unpaid, but usually they're getting paid.
And what are your thoughts on mentors, like having mentors?
I think I'm a little bitter about mentors because for me, everyone was always like, you need a mentor, you need a mentor. Well, I didn't have a mentor and I didn't know where to find one. I couldn't go to the mentor store.
Right, the mentor store
and get a pick mentor. Up a couple. Yeah. So I was a little bitter. I finally got a mentor.
You did?
Well, I think some people are mentors to you even when they're like unwillingly committing to that mentor-mentee relationship. Like my first boss was this powerhouse, beautiful, amazing movie star agent. And she is a mentor to me. Did we ever have a formal conversation where I was like, will you be my mentor? No, but I learned from her. I admire her. And, you know, she's given me advice over the years. Now, I did about maybe 3 or 4 years after starting my business, I got my first official mentor. And I literally said exactly what you're probably not supposed to say, which was, will you be my mentor? Like, will you go out with me? But he's said yes.
Perfect. Oh, but heaven.
But you know, he's a successful executive at a big corporation, and he just took a keen interest in what I was doing. I think, you know, being at such a corporate company, he was kind of excited by the entrepreneurial endeavors that I had going on. But you know, he's a busy guy, and so he's very helpful when he can be.
Yeah.
But I think that sometimes it's hard because people are busy, and I can't expect for him to give me advice all the time forever. So I think sometimes when you're the mentee, you have to sort of watch your asks, right? Like, just like with staying in touch with any professional contact, you can't ask them questions all day. You sort of have to pick your battles.
Yeah.
So I mean, whenever I have work drama, I don't always call up my mentor like someone might think, because he's a busy guy.
Yeah.
So I would say like maybe 4 to 6 times a year, I'll be like, okay, this is a big dilemma. I really need his advice. Or maybe I just want to check in with him about something or use him as a sounding board. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll pick up the phone and call. But I think, you know, you got to keep those relationships. You got to be careful because you don't want to misuse them.
Yeah, absolutely. And push them away even more.
It's like, I'm scared of my mentee.
Well, it's funny because I have a girlfriend who is a health and wellness coach, and she did some work with me for health and wellness. And we would talk once a week, and we'd come up with, like, you know, these little activities and things to do and come back to her with. And then when it was all over, I found myself like, hello, like, would you like to talk? Like, I'm having a bad day about this and this.
You're so used to talking to someone.
Yeah. And it's like, she's my friend too, so of course she wants to be there for me. But I found myself like not even asking her how she's doing. I just like expected her to play that role with me all the time.
That's crazy.
I think that we can all agree that a key to a happy relationship is communication. especially in the bedroom. Unfortunately, sometimes that can be easier said than done. Or maybe you just don't have enough time to accomplish your goals. It's no secret many men want to last longer in the bedroom to help satisfy their partner. We all know the classic tricks to distract enjoying the moment. Well, lucky for us, KY Duration is here to help men last longer. KY Duration is an endurance enhancer which helps men temporarily prolong the time until ejaculation, so no more tapping out early. We ought to be getting what we want, you know what I'm saying? KY Duration is designed by the experts at KY, so you can trust it has FDA-approved active ingredients for him to help take control and extend the pleasure for both. Certainly sounds like a good time to me. You can pick up your KY Duration today at all major mass retailers, drugstores, and grocery stores, as well as online with Amazon. KY Duration is an OTC product, so use as directed. KY Duration. Time to get what you want.
We'll be back with more Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
Podcast One Sports is your home for the Underdog Sports Network. Join Chris Horwedel and friends each week as they cover the biggest stories in sports with shows like Tales from the Association, the Underdog Sports NFL Show, and You're Wrong and Here's Why.
You can't rely on draft picks a lot of times with quarterbacks. There's 4 to 5 quarterbacks drafted in the first round that are complete busts.
Check out all these exciting shows on the Underdog Sports Network every week on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow.
What is your view on women in the workforce and equal opportunities?
You know, I think that some opportunities are more challenging than others. And when I first started Intern Queen, I was kind of entering the recruitment industry, mm-hmm. not really by choice. I always liked the lifestyle and brand and marketing part of it, but it was internships. It was mm-hmm. the recruiting land. And there were a lot of conferences that I would go to and it would be all men and I would walk up to them and I'm sure this didn't help. I was like, hello, I'm the Intern Queen. Nice to meet you. And they would just look at me like
K-W-E-E-N. And Queen.
Yeah. And then yeah. I remember some of the women women from, you know, career centers or career coaches, they didn't like me because they were like, you're the Intern Queen. I'm the Intern Queen.
Oh, boy.
I've had, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this isn't going well. And I have always just tried to almost ignore it. Mm-hmm. And whenever I walk into a room, I don't care who's in the room. I don't care what, you know, shape, size, age, color, anything, anybody is.
Right.
And I'm just me and I'm there to meet people and
you're
bring
just
some
deserving
value. And
yeah, if you're bringing value, you deserve. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's it. And there's probably been some situations that have been harder than I even recognized at the time, maybe because I was a woman. But I always just try to do what I can.
But what about with pay? Like, what about the equal opportunities with pay?
Yeah, I think that, I think women have a battle that they're facing. And a tangible piece of advice that I give to all of the women listening is ask, you know, ask for more. I employ about 12 people. When I offer someone a job, so if anyone's listening, I always offer them less. I have to offer them less because I assume they're going to ask for more. And I can't tell you how many people don't ask for more.
Yes.
So always ask for more. And if you're not getting more right away, ask what you can do to get there. I love when women come in. I work with a lot of young women. I love when they come in and say, I'm making this. In 2 years, I want to be making this.
Yeah.
How do I get there?
Right.
Like, show me the path.
Yeah.
I love that conversation. So I think part of it is asking. And then I think part of it is also knowing when the time's up and you got to leave.
Yeah.
You know, I think so many people stick around at jobs. You know, they hate it. They hate it. They hate it. They talk about hating it. They talk about hating it. Are they looking for a new job? No.
Right. Right.
So when you're stuck, leave.
Yeah.
You know, you got to do you and you have
and
to
take
leave.
That leap and like.
Yeah. You don't want to be. I think loyalty is so important. I'm a small business owner. No one stays. Right. Like,
yeah.
Loyalty. I so value it.
Yes.
But if you're not getting that loyalty in return, you got to like hear the signs and then you have to leave. Because mm-hmm. if you stay, you're only, you know, doing a disservice to yourself.
Absolutely. God, you're good. I just feel like everything that's coming around, I'm like, this is actually really interesting for me. What is the most common question you get asked from people looking for advice? Is it that one of like, I'm making this much, I want to make this much, how do I get there?
Yeah, I mean, a lot. Some people ask about raises. People should ask about raises more, to be honest. Yeah. I think so many people are comfortable with what they have, and they don't realize that there's opportunity for them to be making more.
Right.
Either at that company or at another company. A lot of people, I think, feel unqualified.
Yeah.
No matter what age they're at, they could be, you know, they could be 35, they could be 20, or they could be 45, whatever age, they just feel unqualified. Mm-hmm. And they come up and they tell me all of the reasons why they shouldn't be able to get a job, you know,
instead of thinking,
I haven't worked. And I always say to them, like, flip the script. Like, yeah. You got to sell yourself. You know, what do you have? And so many of us have different experiences that we can pull from. When I'm interviewing people, there's a difference between what I say I'm looking for in the job posting and like what I'm actually going to get, right? Mm-hmm. We all write the job posting thinking about the dream candidate.
Right.
But are we really going to find that person? I mean, maybe, but if we need to hire in any sort of timeline, then maybe not.
Right.
So a lot of people, I think, don't apply for certain jobs because they're scared. They read that listing and they're like, oh my gosh, that could never be me. Mm-hmm. First of all, break the rules, apply anyways, right? Yeah. Hopefully you'll come out of it with at least a contact that rejects you, and then you can be friends with her on LinkedIn. But, you know, I think that it's all about being able to connect a relevant experience. Mm-hmm. So I work with college brand ambassadors, and I've had people come and interview with me, and they'll tell me that they, like, worked at a hair studio, but they managed all of the hair ambassadors for the hair studio. And I was like, oh, at Intern Queen, we manage ambassadors. And it's actually like a tough thing to be good at is managing a lot of people and making sure they do what they're supposed to do. So I can't even
imagine managing a bunch of people.
I mean, yeah, because your job depends on if they do.
I think that'd be
job.
One of the hardest parts.
Yeah, which is really tough. But, you know, the point being, like, find a way to make your experience relevant. Read over that job listing, go through it, highlight the buzzwords, and then really try to connect the dots. What do you have? What experiences have you had that employer is looking for? Mm-hmm. You can probably find something.
Right.
You know, so I always say to people, like, flip the script. What do you have? And really lead with that, because you'll be surprised. Like, people will give you a chance.
I would have to agree with that, like, with a lot of things, even like for me, for podcasting. Like, I know a lot of people can just have a podcast now, but I just, like, I don't know, I guess while having these meetings to get on with Podcast One, I was like, well, same kind of thing where I felt unqualified. Like, I felt unqualified.
Like,
but
what do I have?
Right. And I'm like, I don't know how to podcast. Like, I just like talking, and that should be good enough. But like I just felt very unqualified. Which makes sense, but they give you a chance, and then you realize maybe it's something you're very passionate about.
When in reality, like, you had a platform and you could lead with. Yeah.
And speaking of platforms, I wanted to talk about, like, when people criticize your brand or business. Like, obviously, I get a lot of criticism sometimes, a lot of love, more love. But whether it's constructive or not, do you take things like that personally? Are you good at taking constructive criticism? And how do you think you can help other people do the same?
I would say probably just like you, just like anybody else. It probably depends on the day, right?
Yeah.
So I think true. When I'm in that, like, work zone, mm-hmm. I think that I tend to take criticism better. Mm-hmm. And in general,
it's about delivery too. It's how somebody's giving criticism.
Right. And in a way, I'm asking for it. I tell interns to go and set informational interviews. And I also tell people that are 10 years out of school to go and set informational interviews to learn about a new industry, to get better at what you do. I mean, I started a marketing agency. I know nothing about marketing agencies. So I'm constantly reaching out to CEOs of ad agencies and saying, hey, like, I run this company. It's doing really well. I want to take it to the next level. Will you sit down with me? Most of them ignore me. Mm-hmm. One day they won't. Mm-hmm. And they'll listen to this. Maybe they'll be listening to this podcast.
Hey, you never know. You never
reply
know.
Reply to that email. But, yeah. But, you know, a lot of them do respond to me and they sit down with me. And in that forum, it's kind of like, yes, I'm asking for advice, but I'm also sort of opening myself up for criticism, right?
Yeah.
And so I think you have to show, depending on the situation, like, you know, you have to, in some instances, you have to hear it. If I'm asking for advice, then I have to hear the criticism too. So I think you have to hear it, consider it, and then you know, you take some of it and then you discard the rest.
That's
right.
True.
So I think sometimes I take it personally, especially if I feel like it's unfair or unwarranted,
right?
You know, just like anybody else would. And then I think it kind of goes back to that, that chapter 3, that dealing with, it feels like failure or rejection sometimes, right? Because because if someone criticizes you to such an extent, then you just feel rejected, whether it's personal or professional.
Yeah.
So I think it's going back to what we were talking about earlier. It's knowing what works for you and what I call it my anger box. Like, how can I snap out of the anger box?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. How do you?
Yeah, well, it's knowing those things, whether, yeah. like we said, it's taking a shower, it's going on a walk.
Right.
Maybe it's like calling your, you know, I don't have kids, but a lot of my friends have kids. So sometimes for me, it's just calling my friends and like hearing about their babies.
Yeah.
Something that has nothing to do with my work world, because we all make whatever we have going on feel like the biggest thing on the planet.
Yeah.
And it's really not. So sometimes it's just gaining perspective.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, the luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer. While you can't put a price tag on your stories now with TrueCar, you can at least find out what your car's worth when it's time to sell or trade in. Just go to TrueCar, simply enter your license plate number, and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions, navigation and moonroof. Watch as they bump up your value. High mileage? You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you know how much it dings your wallet so you can plan ahead. Once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offer not available in all areas.
I still want to hear more thoughts of yours on disconnecting and like with social media and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I frankly need to do a better, I think I'm doing better, but there's mm-hmm. still more that I could
like
do.
The power behind it, like
right.
I what mean, it can do for your mental well-being.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that I started doing was no Instagram in bed. I can have Instagram, I can look at it after dinner,
yeah,
but when I go upstairs and I go into bed, there's no more Instagram. And mm-hmm. your finger is so tempted to click that button, right? But just no more Instagram, because, you know, you always say, oh, I'm just going to look at this one thing. No, you end up looking at another girl or some guy or a business competitor or, I don't know, another person from The Bachelor. And you just, like we were saying, you don't need to be looking at other people's stuff. Like, you know, you want to have some self-care time.
It even just sounds so simple when you say it like that. Like, just stop caring about other people. Like, if you just stop involving yourself in other people's lives so much. Like, I understand wanting to see what somebody's doing or being motivated, because Instagram can be like a place of inspiration and motivation too, and picking and choosing when you do that and why. But I think it's the like mindless scrolls and the compare
the
that kind of thing that people
you
need
just
to stop
end,
doing.
Right, you end up like down the rabbit's hole looking at who knows what from high school or whatever it is. So I totally agree. And so I've really just tried to, first it was at night, then it was okay, first thing in the morning, like you said, I want to start my day how I want to start my day, not by looking at a bunch of other mm-hmm. people's stuff. That's not relaxing. So for me, it's morning and night. But I've even noticed, like, I was sitting in the car with my husband today, and instead of, like, we're both entrepreneurs, so mm-hmm. he's busy running his business, I'm running my business, and instead of, like, having a conversation with him in the car, scrolling on Instagram, mm-hmm. and did I really need to be doing that?
Right.
No.
That's how do you and your husband navigate that world of being entrepreneurs and both busy and starting businesses and still trying to, like, put each other first? And do you believe that you should put each other first and then your business second?
Yeah. So, yes, I believe we have to put each other first, because, again, no one else is going to do it for you. Mm-hmm. So if you don't put one another first, no one else is going to do it. Right.
Yeah.
And, like, businesses are great. And I don't have kids. Intern queen is my baby. Mm-hmm. Right. Career queen is my new baby. Mm-hmm. This book is my third baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, they're businesses at the end of the day. They don't love me in return necessarily, right?
So how do you guys make each other feel like priorities?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like I think at the very beginning, we met each other actually at an entrepreneur speaking conference mm-hmm. backstage.
Yeah, oh, cute.
It was cute. I always say it in a very nerdy way. He's like, make it sound cooler. But I think that it's a matter of, first of all, it's a mutual understanding, and it's reminding each other that, I always say to him, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. He's like, I have to get back to him. I'm like, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. And he has to remind me too. Like, he'll literally take my phone out of my hand at night and be like, no, stop. Like, you're done.
Yeah.
All done. So I think it's just a matter of mutually not taking ourselves too seriously, really. Right. Because you can really take yourself real seriously there. And it's just, I mean, again, nobody cares at the end of the day. And I think relationships with family and friends and the people that matter always have to be prioritized. And again, it's working as a team and reminding each other, because if you don't, then you're sitting there on the couch next to one another scrolling all night. Your computers are out.
Yeah.
At the kitchen bar stools all night long. Yeah. So you have to have a time where you say, okay, we're going to close our computer. We're going to watch a show and we're actually going to watch the show. We're not going to text while we watch the show. Yeah. We're not going to work while we watch the show.
And we can talk about it and talk about,
exactly. But you know, it's a constant struggle and it's hard, especially in 2018, 2019, where there is pressure to be always on and always connected and always working. And I think we all have to be confident and set those boundaries for ourselves and for one another. And we have to say, no, it's okay that I'm not connected right now. And that's hard because sometimes you do feel insecure about
because
it.
Because I always think at the end of the day, relationships are what is the most important. And yes, that can be business, but like people that really add value to your life and bring you true happiness and make you feel confident, like those are the people that matter. I always say, I could like, I'm like, I love my house. I just like, I made this dream home for myself, this podcast office, everything. And I'm like, but I would trade it all in for like a shoebox and like happiness and love. Like absolutely. I would in a heartbeat. Right. I would downsize if I needed to. I would sell my Jeep. I would, you know, I would do anything just if that like brought love and happiness.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think, I mean, for me, I remember there was a time a couple years ago where I had almost like an identity crisis between what is like, who is intern queen versus who is me. And I don't know if you felt that way a little bit, because in a way, like the persona of you from Bachelorette and whatnot is almost like it's larger than life.
Yes.
And, you know, people are like, well, you're the intern queen. You're always on. You're always giving career advice and you're always like so excited. And I am actually like pretty excited all the time. But, you know, that's not always me.
Yeah.
And almost like telling myself that like that isn't me all the time and then being okay with that was this weird, you know, struggle at one point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
no, I understand that completely. I definitely like, even like today I'm having a really hard day and like so tired, and it's being on, but also being confident and comfortable enough to know that I don't have to be super on right now. And I'm not on my A game right now.
Right. All good.
But I'm like, I'm having a glass of wine. I'm learning a lot from you. Yeah. You're very well spoken and you bring a lot to this podcast right now. So I'm like, just like taking that for what it is and enjoying that, because I'm like, I just can't be on right now. Like it was the hardest day. It's been one of the hardest days ever today.
Yeah.
And so to me, I'm like, hey, just take it for what it is and people are going to forgive you. And if you're just honest about it too, like just be honest.
And I think people usually respect that the most.
Yeah. Cause sometimes people are like, oh, what was wrong with you on that podcast? Or like, what was going on? And I'm like, oh man, like I was having a really rough day and it's hard for me. I can be on and I can switch gears, you know, but sometimes I'm just tired.
Right. And by the way, I think everybody feels that way. I think everyone feels in life like overwhelmed and tired. And like we've been talking about, busy. And it's a like it's okay. I hear from so many people, actually young people, college girls, that they're taking social media mental health breaks. Perfect. Which is really interesting and probably so good, because
but the fact that we I can only imagine that's a thing.
Well, yeah, and I can only imagine that pressure in college.
I can't.
I mean,
I just can't even allow my brain to go there for me to think about if what that would have been like for me in such fragile time.
Yeah.
You know, like that's...
Well, cheers.
Yeah, absolutely. Cheers to that. I think it's a good time to play a game.
Okay.
It's not that great of a game, but it's just this or that. Would you rather this or that?
That's what it is. Okay.
This
McDonald's
or that.
McDonald's or In-N-Out? I want McDonald's.
Oh, every time. Every single time McDonald's. Instagram or YouTube?
Maybe YouTube.
Oh. Yeah.
Less
more
anxiety.
Raw, real. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Email or a phone call?
Phone call, for sure.
And why?
Well,
I'm like, that's
all,
not part of the game, but now I want
to
know.
I don't like, I used to be like, I have to be on top of my emails every second of every day. And now I'm like, who cares?
Yeah.
There's too many of them.
Yeah.
You really need something, give me a call. And otherwise, I'll get back to your email when I get back to your email.
Yeah, of course. I love that.
Yeah, and I just love a personal conversation.
I do too.
Like, call me up, say hey.
I do too. I live for good conversation.
Yeah.
Education or experience?
Ooh, that's a tough one for the intern queen, but I'd say both. I have to say both. It's like the power. I feel like
the game is this or that.
I know. I feel like I'm playing that the Andy Cohen Bravo game.
Yes. Yeah.
I think it has to be a combination though of you can't have the experience without the education, and you don't want the education. Okay, fine. Experience.
Thank you.
Don't tell my mom who's a teacher.
There you go. Resume or energy?
You know, I'd say resume.
Yeah.
You gotta be able to back it up with prove that resume. It, yeah. You could be really excited and like hype, but you gotta put it down on paper.
Yeah, I hear you. Love what you do and make no money, or hate what you do and make $1 million a year?
Probably love what you do and make no money.
Yeah. Me too.
Like you said, live in a shoebox.
Yeah, absolutely. Whitney Wolf or Sarah Blakely?
I was like, wait, I thought you were going for Whitney from The Bachelor. So I was like, her last name is Wolf. Oh, no, Whitney. I'd say Sarah Blakely because she's from Clearwater, Florida, which is where I'm from.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay. Shout out. Fair enough. Early mornings or late nights?
Ooh, both. Late nights. I've been a night owl since I was little.
Yeah, I'm the kind of same way. Stress eat or stress drink? I do both.
I'd rather stress drink. I probably usually stress eat.
yes. Okay. And also, I just want to know if there's anything else you wanted to talk about with your book or with anything that you've got going on that I didn't touch on.
No, I think that, again, like if you're feeling, I know everyone's feeling busy, so you don't have to tell me you are.
Yes, we get it. We're all busy. That's like telling us you're tired. Exactly. We're all tired.
And it's funny. After I started calling the book or titled the book, Get It Together, I started hearing so many people just say in day-to-day life, oh, I really have to get it together. Mm-hmm. So I think that if you're feeling that way, hopefully my book will offer you, again, just some actionable pieces of advice that you can start taking right away.
Mm-hmm.
People can check out internqueen.com if they're in college. If they're out of college, which I'm sure a lot of listeners are, careerqueen.com is brand new. And the book Get It Together is available everywhere. And then I have like 3 Instagrams right now, which I don't
know what
that's about. But it's at internqueen if you're in college.
Yeah.
At official career queen. And then my personal one is official Lauren Berger. So
like
Instagram.
Oh,
what
man.
Do you even do with it these days? But yeah, official career queen at intern queen at official Lauren Berger.
Okay. That was so insightful. Like I actually really enjoyed asking you those questions because I think a lot of listeners do have like these thoughts and these struggles and want to know advice. And I think that your book would be so rewarding for them.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I enjoyed the conversation too.
And got to end it with a joke.
What is Beethoven's favorite fruit? Ba-na-na-na.
Oh my gosh, that's good. I was like, because you're doing the buff and you're like, I was like, what, should I know this? That's good. I haven't heard it.
Oh, good.
There's not many jokes that I haven't heard.
I've been saying that one since like high school. So
that's amazing. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks so much.
And doing like, oh God, your energy is so good for me right now. Because I was just like, So thank you.
We're going to go sit and cry in the shower. I'm like,
put me in the shower. Thank you so much for being here. And I'm Caitlin Bristow. I'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. Get new episodes every Tuesday exclusively on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Who's not with OTV?
Sponsor review for this week's Off the Vine, KY Duration. Extend both your pleasure. Pick up your KY Duration today. Blink, check out blinkforhome.com/offthevine for peace of mind starting at $99. Walt Disney, planned your next magical getaway today. And TrueCar. Visit TrueCar for a more confident car buying experience.